Welcome to The Courage Effect. I'm Suzanne Weller, and this is a show about growth and unleashing what's possible. You'll hear inspiring stories about what courage looks like, how we navigate what's getting in our way, and the opportunities that surface when we choose courage over comfort. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone. This is Suzanne. I'm thrilled to have you here at The Courage Effect. This is a special show because as of today, or as of this week, The Courage Effect is officially 1 year old. So it's been 1 year. Happy anniversary to The Courage Effect. And I really wanted to spend some time today talking about what an amazing year it's been. The incredible guests that I've had on the show, having conversations about courage. We've really been trying to fulfill the mission of telling stories about courage so that we understand, regardless of how big the act, large or small, when you actually dance with your fear and when you step into courage, amazing things surface. Possibilities are on the other side. And even if it's not the most amazing thing, how can we learn from it? Courage is something that opens up possibilities, but it's also a matter of understanding what could have been, what might be, or what do we want to move away from in the future. So thank you for joining me on this journey over the past year. Thank you to all of the guests who have been here. We've had everybody from writers to filmmakers, comedians, experts in many fields in personal safety and perfectionism. We've had photographers. We've had so many various people, and I'm incredibly grateful to all of you. And we've talked about courage in the ways that we, I think, would expect it when it's the bigger and bolder moves. So maybe it's the job pivot. Maybe it's ending a relationship in your life. Maybe it's getting out of a toxic work environment. But we've also talked about other ways that courage can show up. And I think that's, you know, I did a show recently about recognizing when we're overthinking and the courage to move beyond that, the courage to challenge our thought patterns. We've talked about courage with perfectionism. Instead of coming from a place of lack, how can we bring some self-compassion and some courage into being who we are and putting ourselves forward in new ways without necessarily being so concerned about the judgment of other people or judging ourselves? The courage to learn, the courage to have hard conversations with people. There are so many different ways that courage and bravery shows up. And I'm really hoping that over the past year, you've enjoyed the shows. You can obviously go back into the archive and listen to them whenever you want. But I hope that they have sparked some new behaviors and new thinkings and actions for you. I'm going to share some stories today about how it's changed me over the past 12 months. And I also want to bring in some of the quotes of the guests that have been on the show who have directly inspired me and I think that give larger lessons that we can all embrace and take away and really step into courage in new ways ourselves. I also want to say a big thank you and express my gratitude for all of the people that have told me about the impact that the show has had on their lives. It's amazing to hear the stories of what has resulted from people listening to the conversations happening on this show. I am so grateful for all of you to join me in a partner in courage to have these conversations about what is uncomfortable, about how we wrangle fear in our lives, how we manage regret, and how we open up to new things as a result. One of the guests on this show that really captured what we have been experiencing over the past few years, this almost sort of collective trauma where we've been together or we were forced to be apart and really live in a state of uncertainty, is Susan Mann. She coined the phrase that we have really been living in a vulnerability show. I'm pretty sure that all of us can relate to that statement because we don't know what's coming at us day in and day out. We have to be in a space where in order for us to respond to what's happening in our world, to have any sort of adaptability, we need to be vulnerable to realize what are the things that might not be allowing us to react or to respond to what's being dealt to us as effectively as we want to, or maybe in a way that is most valuable for us. We are not always showing up how we want to show up. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, I'm going to share a story in the second half of the show. I had a very dear friend pass away last year, in addition to other challenges in my life. That threw me off my game. And that's when I really realized I need to be vulnerable with myself. I need to have a conversation to say, what are the patterns that I am falling into? How do I spot them that are not working in my favor, or they're not allowing me to show up as the person that I want to be? So let me take you to a quote from Susan, because it isn't just about how we are showing up, but it's what we are potentially preventing from happening. What are the possibilities that we might be holding back from if we are so stuck and set in our ways and aren't open to what she calls the magic and the mayhem?
Staying open to what's possible is so important. It's easy to shut down when things are hard. There's this terrific quote that's attributed to Albert Einstein. He says there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. So for me, part of how I navigate all of these big problems in the world that can feel overwhelming is to remember the magic and the miracles and look for opportunities to create them, be open to seeing them.
I love that Susan shared that, and it really makes me wonder, how can we be open to the magic that maybe we're going to create, or others, or that might be possible around us while we're living in that mayhem? And I would say that the number one way that I know to do that is to try to be as present as possible, but at the same time, realize where we might have the opportunity to get out of our comfort zone. Where might we be unintentionally boxing ourselves in? This is something that I think we all do in different ways. We don't necessarily know when we might be doing it or when we need to be doing it. And that is truly one of the things that I have taken very deliberate steps to do over the past year. I have really tried to recognize, when am I uncomfortable? When something is going on, what am I feeling? What is awkward and weird about this? And what are the emotions, the feelings that are beneath the surface? I have really embraced something that was shared by Ruby Love on one of our shows. She came to the Courage Effect and talked about shifting to a mindset of discovery. She was talking about it in the context of, with younger people, we really do embrace, or we foster this culture of fear. Obviously, we live in a world where there's so many things going on, a lot of really painful and uncomfortable and horrible things. And her thoughts around really coming to these experiences as discovery, as what can we potentially see and learn and uncover, as opposed to just locking ourselves away in fear. This is where there is space to grow. Let me share this quote from Ruby.
Unfortunately, as adults, we ingrain fear in young people. And the opposite, obviously, of courage is fear. And so what I like to do is I like to, you know, begin the process of dismantling fear in people and helping them see what are their personal strengths so that they feel more able and confident to practice the courage that we're talking about. You know, that's really why people don't practice courage, is because they get settled in fear of unknown and undiscovered. So there's the unknown. I've got a lot of unknowns in my life, but I'm always wanting to discover. And so if you have that interest and commitment to discovery versus resting with unknown, it's so much easier to release the fear. You know, fear when it comes to making the move, taking, you know, the next step in terms of your business life, your social life, your financial life, all of those things.
I really appreciate how Ruby speaks to this, because not only is it about reframing our own mindset, where we're moving into a space of discovery, she's encouraging us to do that for others. Instead of just judging and bringing our advice or our perspective into different experiences, different communities, different people, how do we potentially open up ideas and give some warnings or maybe give some guardrails around it, but not just shut something down, not just bring about this idea of fear and that we shouldn't engage in something that we are not always comfortable with. One of the things that I've really thought about over the past year in this regard is, how do I look at the people in my life, the places, the circumstances, but I think first and foremost, the people that I need around me to support that discovery. Who can help me cultivate my own growth? And who can at the same time bring compassion? I want people to be partners in discovery with me. I don't want them to be, you know, yes men. I don't want them to just be people that are telling me what I want to hear. That is not always an easy thing to find. And I think that there's times when we have to look at our relationships. What are we getting from various relationships? And not even just relationships, but from communities. And that's another thing that I have been really intentional about over this last year. I have been going out of my comfort zone and really mustering my courage around the relationships and communities in my life that might not be serving me how they were in the past. I've made some changes of communities that I've been a member of. I've made some changes just as far as, you know, who I'm spending time with. And this is really part of my larger initiative. And this was something that I talked about in the Courageous Intentions for the new year. My word of the year is curation, or curate. How do I curate the relationships and the people and the communities in my life that make the most sense for me now and moving forward? This is all part of me wanting to hit refresh. What are the things that maybe are feeling stale, maybe are holding me back? And how do I know that? How do I know that I am potentially, you know, root bound? I'd like to use the whole analogy of repotting. How might I look at myself as a plant where I'm in a pot where I'm root bound, I'm not growing, I'm stuck in this small space? And if I opened up to something new, a bigger pot, or even just a different pot, how can I grow in new ways? How can I bring those roots out and set down roots and relationships in new areas? This does definitely involve getting out of our comfort zone, because it's finding the communities and relationships that we potentially want to join and be a part of. It involves experimentation, it involves vulnerability, and it also, I think, takes courage and understanding, how do you know if it's the right group of people or the right relationship for you or not? I'm thinking of a conversation I had recently with somebody that she spent probably 70% of our time together just complaining. There comes a point of, I get the need to complain and I get the need to vent, but I don't want to see somebody a few times a year and have half of our time together spent complaining. How do I have the courage to maybe have the conversation with that person to try to reframe, to say, you know, are you potentially aware that this is happening or there might be something else going on? Am I comfortable enough to do that? Is the relationship one that I want to do that in? And how much of my energy and attention and time am I going to put into that? These are hard conversations to have. They're hard conversations for us to have, starting with ourselves and then with other people. But as I want to, you know, I only have so much time on this earth. I want to make sure I'm spending it with the people that I love, that really help me to have the life that I want and that I can do the same for them. I really do need to curate my time and my attention more. And that does involve a good dose of courage. So we're at the halfway point. We're going to cut to a break. We will be back in a minute. You're listening to The Courage Effect. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. It's Suzanne from The Courage Effect. As the seasons changed, I poked into my closet and discovered how stale my wardrobe had become. Everything felt boring, and I wanted something different and fresh. I grabbed my laptop and remembered Armoire. Why not clothing rental? I could experiment with new styles, from jeans to something fancy, without spending a ton of money and buying clothes I would only wear a handful of times. Armoire makes clothing rental easy. Build the perfect seasonal wardrobe with brands that are unique, sustainably sourced, and owned by women. All you have to do is take the style quiz, select items from your personalized closet, and they will ship them straight to your door. Armoire allows me to indulge in high-quality designer clothing with no guilt. They promote sustainability with fewer items ending up in the donation bag and landfill, and no dry cleaning fees. Trust me, your cramped closet and the environment will thank you. If you're ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you must try Armoire. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style, that's armoire.style, /thecourageeffect to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne, and we are looking back on the past 12 months because The Courage Effect is officially 1 year old. I've been talking about challenging my comfort zone over the past year and the conversations that I've had with the guests that have really supported me to do that, the different ways that they've helped me to muster my courage. And this really began from the very first day of the show launching. When it launched in April of 2023, on that same day, I had a very dear friend pass away. In the morning, I was celebrating having the show out in the world. I was thrilled and just feeling really good, excited because it had taken a lot of work to get it out in the universe. And then later that day, I was sitting in a puddle of tears. This was a dear friend of mine and one of my husband's closest friends. He was like family. And even though we knew that he was struggling, when somebody passes, it happened pretty quickly. It happened faster than we expected it. It gave me, it totally knocked me off my game and in ways that I didn't necessarily expect. And even though I had dealt with grief before, it was also the grief of people in my life that were dear friends as well, and seeing them go through it and how we processed our grief individually, collectively, and giving myself the space to be able to understand what he meant to me. And it also made me turn the lens onto myself. He was 2 weeks older than me. Where am I in my life? Am I living the life that I want to be living? And just, you know, being really honest with myself about my longevity. And who am I spending my time with? As I talked about in the beginning of the show, what am I doing? I know I'm doing the work that I love, but am I having all of the relationships that I want? Am I showing love for all of the people that I want and appreciate and love so much? I want to make sure that they are getting the best out of me and that I am able to bring my best to those relationships, to my work. And his death was something that allowed me to understand that we get knocked off our game when we don't expect it, and it can be unexpectedly hard. The first guest on The Courage Effect was Troy Livingston, and he shared a story about going through a unexpected divorce. And there's a really beautiful quote from that show that I want to share now.
You know, we all need a few really, I think, unexpected and really disruptive moments in our life to push us in ways that we need. So sometimes it's losing a job or the death of someone. In my case, the loss of a relationship that was critical. And as much as they suck, these moments, they can be so transformative and helpful if we let them. And that's really the key, I think, is I've tried to let this work on me in ways that have been helpful and beneficial.
So similar to what we talked about with Ruby Love's quote in the first half of the show, Troy's is about reframing, looking at an experience that is awful and really hard. How do we learn from it? How do we use this as an opportunity for growth. And when I realized that I was really struggling with my friend's death and other things that were happening in my life last year, I also had a few other friends die. I had other friends that were dealing with cancer diagnoses and treatments and family matters as well. I decided that it was time for me to seek help. So I mustered my courage to find a therapist. I'd seen a therapist just for some acute reasons in the past when things were happening, but I knew that I needed to find a partner, somebody to really give me a space to process those emotions and to also see the patterns that I was falling into, maybe some of the things that I hadn't considered in my past with, you know, thought patterns, behavior patterns, because I was feeling really down. I was feeling really unmotivated, and I did not want that to impact my work, and I didn't want it to impact the relationships and how I was showing up for the people in my life and how I was showing up for myself. So being in therapy has been a wonderful experience. It has given me the support that I've needed. It's given me the space to really be challenged and to challenge myself and to create new spaces for emotions. That's one of the things too, is, you know, we need to cope. We need to be able to process these hard emotions when they happen. And that doesn't mean that we're constantly going to be sitting in them and not really being able to function. That even though we need time honoring the space to feel the emotions, I also need to make sure that I'm coping and giving myself the time and the energy. How do I create the spaces for these various emotions, so they're not seeping into every interaction of my life? I want to still be a productive human being. I want to still experience joy without letting the grief and the sadness and the loss take me over. So I've put some various practices in place. I've talked about this in past shows. Containering, this is something that I do for overthinking, but also for just emotions. How do I give myself time to sit in discomfort, to sit in something that is really uncomfortable and acknowledging that I'm not okay? But when I acknowledge that in certain times and give myself the space to sit in it, to really marinate, then I'm allowed to be in other spaces in my life where it doesn't necessarily take me over. It helps me to minimize the distractions. And it also ensures that I'm not moving on too quickly. That's one of the things that I also experience in my life is restlessness. I know that I have a tendency to finish something and move on really fast. And, you know, I have shiny object syndrome at some points. I can distract myself pretty damn well. That isn't helping me. That isn't helping me to process the emotions and the tough stuff. I'm just moving on. I'm getting distracted with things. So giving myself the time and the space to really sit in it allows me to truly process the emotions. And this also brings me back to something that was shared in the show that I did with Nicole Christie. How do we do the work? Doing the hard work is something that we need to do to show up for ourselves again and show up for other people. It is not easy, and it is something that we need to commit to doing and that we need to invest in doing. The show has also given me the courage to recognize that I am falling into certain patterns around, you know, oh, when this happens, everything will be good. Or when this happens, I'll feel healthy. I'll feel confident. I'll feel satisfied. Yes, there is a certain amount of that. But the whole idea of when something happens, I can't make my emotions dependent on certain activities. If I think about how I want to feel as a result of doing it, as opposed to arriving at that point, that makes me less driven by outcomes, or it allows me to detach from outcomes. It's what I call sort of emotional completion. Instead of just saying, like, when this happens, it'll all be good. When this happens, I've arrived. Because I really don't think we ever arrive. And when we think about ourselves as a work in progress, this is how we potentially allow experimentation to come in. What if I experiment with this? Hopefully, I will feel this as a result. How can I test and play around with it and see what happens? And if it's not the emotion or the feelings that I want when I get to that point, when I've done something, how do I take inventory and then realize, okay, it was an experiment. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or maybe I am. Maybe it worked. Or maybe I'm going to tweak it. So that embracing discovery, as we talked about before, and embracing Exploration and experimentation can be a really beautiful way for us to introduce a little bit of uncertainty or get used to the things that might come our way, introduce uncertainty, get more comfortable and adaptable as a result.
You know, we all need a few really, I think, unexpected and really disruptive moments in our life to push us in ways that we need. So sometimes it's losing a job or the death of someone. In my case, the loss of a relationship that was critical. And as much as they suck, these moments, they can be so transformative and helpful if we let them. And that's really the key, I think, is I've tried to let this work on me in ways that have been helpful and beneficial.
That statement, especially the statement around letting experiences work on us to be things that are beneficial or helpful, I took my experience over the past year and turned it into doing just that. I made the decision to actually partner with a therapist. It's a relationship that's given me space to feel emotions and to just let a lot of stuff out, to become aware of patterns that I wasn't aware of, or just as far as things that I'm falling into, or maybe that I'm ready to let go of. It's really been a powerful experience. Just as Nicole Christie said in the show that she was on with us last year, you got to do the work. This is the hard stuff that unless you deal with it, it's going to fester and it's not going to be something that you're going to want to carry around with you for the rest of your life. So I am looking to continually change in my life. I want to be growing. I want to be learning and I want to be courageous. I do think that it takes courage to ask for help and to enlist the support of others to be able to do it. So my final thought as we talk about courage overall is, how do we use this for growth? How do we use this for development? How do we use it for the means of discovery to create that magic and to open up to possibility? So thank you to all of my guests, not just the three that I had quoted today, but also thank you to all of you for being here. If you have stories that you want to share about what resonated with you, or if you have courageous stories that maybe you want to share on this show, I would love for you to reach out. You can find us at our website or on Instagram. All of the links are in the show notes. I would love to hear from you. And last but not least, a thank you to two people who are integral in making this show happen and bringing it into the world. They are Benny Mathers, my producer, and Alex Sandyforth, who is the administrative maven that does everything behind the scenes. Thank you for a year of The Courage Effect. I look forward to the next year. And if you are enjoying the show, please, I really welcome you to share it with others, to like it and to rate it so that we can keep it going and get it to a broader audience. So take care, everybody. Thank you again for being here. Stay courageous.